At the end of 4 years, if you are out of government and nothing is found on you, it is finished. Mm. But the system we are bringing, it makes it difficult for you to do that, because every 2 years, you will be required to declare your assets. Of course, we are not at the 100% stage as Mr. Senenu is looking for. But what we are bringing about is an improvement upon the current status. Number two, it also, I heard him earlier on talk about digitized system is not enough to guarantee that. Certainly, we agree. We all went to the stage whereby school placement is being digitized, but unfortunately, people think that it's not going well. Fine, it's still better than before, but we can all work towards improving it. The point I want to make is that it's not enough to put only the executive in the context of ensuring that the country is corrupt-free. The entire public sector have a responsibility, and this is the responsibility that the president to be is charting the course to provide the appropriate leadership, so that all these issues that he has raised from the civil society perspective and also from the civil servant point of view, we can all work together to get to a convention whereby the country will be much better off in terms of corrupt activities. Certainly, digitization is not enough. We all know that. You can digitize the system, but individuals manipulating the system can be as worse off than you expect them to be. Number two, the next stage is that you talked about draft bill of public. Of course, it can be also looked at and can be worked on. So we are not saying that we profiled
that has been at cabinet for over 2 years, as he says. So it's not
I sit in cabinet, but I have not seen that. Maybe it's still with the AG's office. I sit in cabinet. It has not come to. I have not seen it. So maybe it's at AG's office or somewhere else. I sit in cabinet by the privilege given to me by His Excellency the President. I sat in cabinet from 2021 up to date. I don't miss cabinet meetings, and I always have my papers with me. We don't have it in cabinet.
Not there in cabinet. I'm grateful to you, Dr. Isaac Osumensa, for joining. He's coordinator of the Dr. Baumia Manifesto Committee. Also, thanks to you, Adam Senenu, anti-corruption campaigner. This has been Top Story. Coming up next is Newsnight with Fosti.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Newsnight. Live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra. The bulletin is also live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi and over 30 affiliates across the country and around the world at myjoyonline.com. Coming up within the next 60 minutes, Labour Union skeptical about fresh promises by the NPP to improve their conditions of service, questioning why the party failed to deliver on its 2020 promises.
So I cannot indicate that this thing will be delivered or not. No, they are the people making the promise, and they must prove to us beyond reasonable doubt that they intend to deliver them.
We'll hear from economists who fear these promises may not be kept because of the prevailing economic conditions, which may travel well beyond 2024.
That goes with the economy, and we need to ask ourselves, whether we have the capacity to service our debt or not. That the manifesto forgot to look at is, the debt service and its impact on the economy going forward. I mean, we can't take that for granted.
Also tonight, Electoral Commission fights accusation. It has been secretly registering people to part the voters' register ahead of the 2024 election.
Anytime the commission is undertaking a registration exercise, we do it with the political parties. So it's not possible. It cannot happen that the commission will register people without the political parties. So
as the Electoral Commission releases the provisional voters' register to political parties after days of back and forth.
We wish to state that the external drives containing the provisional voters' register are ready for pickup. However, we can state on record that the NDC has collected its external drive, which contains the provisional voters' register.
Also coming up, Auditor General cites Controller and Accountant General, Bank of Ghana, GRA and the Minerals Commission for failing to disclose taxes earned on 553 billion cedis worth of gold exported in 2023.
We drew their attention to the need to really factor in all the technicalities in getting the right information on the gold royalties and the rest. So, Ministry of Finance, GRA, and Bank of Ghana, we started the engagement.
Stay with us because we have details as the Controller General contests the AGIS report, citing the department for understating the 2023 budget funding by 32 million cedis. And in business,
National Petroleum Authority vows to press ahead with the cylinder recirculation module, but will not rule out further engagement with the LPG marketers on their concerns.
Plan to support teams with logistics to ease the burden on these clubs.
I am Faustina Safo. Please stay for details.
Kind of way, tell you sell the money promo nabo.
Everybody likes money, but what do we like more than money?
More money!
Join the Telecel More Money promo and win money,
more money,
and even more money. Simply opt in for free and reload your mobile and broadband and be the lucky winner of the 1 million Ghana cedis grand prize. Also win cash prizes of up to 3 million Ghana cedis in the daily and weekly draw. Opt in for free by dialing *500# or send win to 500, or you can opt in on the Telecel Play app. The more you reload, the higher chances of winning in the Telecel More Money promo. Keep loading, win, and be a millionaire.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Terms and conditions apply. This promo is regulated by the NLA on the Caritas Lottery platform.
Ajay. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep. Me down on my back with holy insecticide spray.
Holy mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Krum Krum. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mami Akia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time, and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies, and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Smile. Are you waking up with jaw pain and headaches? This is commonly caused by grinding your teeth at night. Hi, I'm Tanya from Bethel Dental Clinic, Ghana. This condition is known as bruxism or grinding. Oftentimes, people are unaware that they are doing so, but the side effects are visible and often heard by one's sleep partner. So if you're experiencing jaw pain, headache, sensitivity, and even fractured teeth, you may be a clincher or grinder. It can also wear down your teeth and affect your overall health. After a dental visit, a custom-made ninth guard will be made for you. This occlusal guard is worn to protect your teeth while you sleep to prevent further damage and discomfort. So, contact your dental office to learn more about protecting your teeth from clenching and grinding.
Health is mine.
Now, you can share your thoughts with us on our social media handles. We're Joe 99.7 FM. You can send us a direct message on 055-111-1997 and we'll read them here on Newsline. Well, tonight the NPP is making bold promises to put the concerns of labor unions at the center of their government if they're given the nod to lead in 2025. For healthcare workers, they are promising to partner with real estate developers, including State Housing and TDC, to provide housing schemes for healthcare workers. They are promising to enhance incentives for public health workers in deprived areas. They also promise to introduce incentives for healthcare workers and teachers to buy vehicles each with engine capacity of 1,800cc. Now, we've been hearing from the Ghana National Association of Teachers. They are skeptical about these promises. But first, here's a Political Dex report capturing some of the key promises made during the manifesto launch.
The new Patriotic Party, NPP, has gone big on promises to almost all sectors of the economy. The party has specific promises to specific groups. Conditions of service for teachers featured prominently in the manifesto, with the NPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia promising to review the conditions of service for teachers, including an incentive to all teachers to buy cars.
We, as a result, will recruit more teachers at all levels with improved conditions of service. We will offer incentives also for teachers to buy one vehicle each with an engine capacity of up to 1,800cc.
The 2024 manifesto, the NPP had earlier indicated, will focus on business and private sector. The vice president has made a raft of new promises to deal with the tax administration of the country.
The next NPP government will introduce a very simple, citizen-friendly and business-friendly flat tax system. And a flat tax will be of a percentage of income for individuals and businesses with appropriate exemption thresholds set to protect the poor.
The youth also had their share with Dr. Bawumia promising to create more job opportunities.
We are equally committed to creating more job opportunities that will significantly reduce youth unemployment among the national population.
Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia also threw jabs at former President Mahama, who he said was dodging an invitation to a debate. With the NDC also now set to launch its own manifesto, the stage is now set for a comparison of the policy blueprint both parties are offering ahead of the crucial 2024 election. Kwaku Asante for Joy News.
Well, the General Secretary of NAT, Thomas Musa, says government is yet to even honor the promises they made in 2020. How then do they expect them to believe them this time? Let's listen to him.
We've been here before. And I think that we cannot easily progress without looking at what has happened in recent history. Some few years back, we engaged the government and they promised us that they are going to ensure that we get affordable housing. And in fact, when the government came into office, specifically if you look at the budget statement, if you look at page 105 and paragraph 589, paragraph 589 on page 105, it is there that the government will engage the teacher unions, specifically not NAGRA, to ensure that the affordable housing is put in place. About 4 years down the line, somewhere 2022, in fact, we invited His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Ghana, our own Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, came to our program, specifically KNUSC Kumasi, where he indicated that 10,000 houses will be built within the next 2 years. That this promise was made in 2022. So we are in the second, we are almost ending the second year. Teachers have always been asking about this affordable housing, which are of concern to teachers. And that is their collective agreement, which was signed recently. In that particular agreement, there were some key takeaways that the government promised to get it done as soon as possible. One of them is the promotion of teachers from the deputy director rank to director two, and subsequently to director one rank. This thing is a pending thing, and according to the agreement we signed by September ended, it will be done. The other one is teachers working in deprived areas. That one also, the promise was that 1 month after the signing of the collective agreement, they will make sure that they get it done. And that should have, but that this 1 month elapsed 24th of June.
Yes.
Then we have the issue of the laptop and other related ones. Then that brings me now to the issue of the vehicle. The issue of the vehicle, it is something that we were enjoying some time past. And so if His Excellency is saying that you bring it back, it's a good thing and we welcome it. But like I have said, the other ones that we have been promised and they have not been delivered, we are acting of it. And I can't speak to it without reminding government about the earlier promises that have been made. And it is for them to prove us wrong that they intend to deliver those promises.
Right.
Because they are the people making the promise. So I cannot indicate that this thing will be delivered or not. No, they are the people making the promise, and they must prove to us beyond reasonable doubt that they intend to deliver them. That's it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thomas Musa. Well, meanwhile, economist Lord Mensah fears these promises may not be kept because of the prevailing economic conditions, which may travel beyond 2024.
Ukraine war had impact, but then at the end of the day, by this time the impact should have dissipated by now. I mean, let's face the fact. Add 53 billion and over, whilst our GDP has also grown from 56.1 billion to 76 billion, and that should tell you that yes, of course, whilst we're growing our economy, we are growing the liability that goes with the economy, and we need to ask ourselves, whether we have the capacity to service our debt or not after going through this debt negotiations and all that. The entire manifesto, talks about, our debt service, all right. But then what we forget to look at is that the manifesto forgot to look at is, the debt service and its impact on the economy going forward. I mean, we can't take that for granted.
Well, let's broaden the conversation here on Newsnight as we flesh out some of the key policies the MPP, they are promising and proposing to Ghanaians if elected. Now, we bring in Professor Asar Asante. He's a political analyst as we expand the conversation. Thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Economists have painted a grim picture about the country's outlook post-2024. Now, here's this government making a lot of promises to scrap e-levy betting tax, and yet they are promising health workers that they would introduce vehicle purchase incentives for them. They are also promising to enhance incentives for public health workers in rural areas. They are also promising to complete Agenda 111. The question then is this just simply policy? They are making promises pen to paper. Can they even fund this?
Thank you, my sister, for the opportunity. But let me make a quick correction. I'm not a professor. I'm a doctor. Right. So I move on. The question you are posed to me, yes, we are doing this intellectual exercise, but I believe that I'm not the right person to answer whether you'll be able to do. But that aside, let's look at it this way. Right. Whether they'll be able to do or not, they have to convince Ghanaians beyond reasonable doubt. Why am I saying this? We have had promises in 2020. Some of them fulfilled, some not. So those ones that are not fulfilled and they are recycling and bringing them to the fore, they need to convince us beyond reasonable doubt that now they have what it takes to make it work. And for me, that is the difficult aspect of the budget for them. They have to answer. Because there are a number of issues that remain unattended to. Let's look at the issue of corruption. They have said that they want to root out corruption by way of digitization. Fine. Brilliant idea. But we have heard these things time and again, that all manner of slogans were declared against corruption, the zero tolerance for corruption,
I will not, I'll protect the public pairs and the rest of them. Today, Transparency International figures are clear, and it tells us that we are far from over, you know. And so, what new things? We want to see real concrete measures to deal with it. From where I sit, all that I see is that, look, you can introduce digitization in the process and all that. If somebody is caught at the end of the day, prosecution ought to be what? Undertaken. And who does that? It's government. As the government has the political wherewithal or the political will to deal with this if the people come from his own party. That we have seen experience over the years, the clearing agent syndrome and the rest of them. It tells me and that the government is just a talk shop. It's not a workshop, all right? Because charity begins at home. You need to be able to demonstrate to me that you are capable. So now that you are saying that, yes, you are coming out with a new, fresh ideas, what happened to the old idea? So they have not convinced me enough. The government talks about issue of what? Ensuring food sufficiency, and it will do that through what? Irrigation and improved seedlings and whatnot. Brilliant idea. But if you talk about irrigation, that's the crux of the matter. The whole of the northern belt, they want what? Irrigation. They don't want to rely on rainfall and all that. And that is why the Pualugu Dam comes in handy. All right. What has happened to the Pualugu Dam, where we have sunk almost $12 billion, as $12 million, and nothing has happened to it? That dam serves multi-purpose what functions. One, that when you're able to do it, any water spill from the Bagri Dam, it holds it and then reduces and then gradually gets toward Akosomo. So by the time it gets there, the pressure and force has come down. And then onward, it will be what? Forward palm down. And that will ease the bearing and the pressure on the dam. And then all the devastating effect that we have seen will be a thing of the past. More so when you construct the dam, it serves as what? Irrigation point for farming activities that will help you to create jobs. What has happened to it? We have not seen that. If you want to tell me that you have signed 12 million and we have not seen anything, and that you continue to build a dam, where is that evidence? The little we have seen, we have not ensured value for money. So why do you want to believe that you'll be able to do that? Come to look at even taxes.
We'll go into taxes shortly, Doc. Let's get into the other concerns you have raised. You said they're introducing new policies, but then they haven't fixed or even delivered on some of the promises they made in 2020. Another key promise is the promise that they made back in 2020 was the Agenda 111 project. They promised us, even when the president commissioned that as far back as August 2021, they promised us that they would fulfill their promise of building 111 hospitals across the country. That is yet to see the light of day because some of these hospitals are still under construction. It then begs the question, what should we do? You've been in the political scene for a long time. How can we hold leaders accountable to not just make promises, but deliver on what they say?
You see, one of the things we can do is what we are doing, the public engagement. We should engage the public the more by asking them, how are they going to fund these things? How are they going to do it? Where have we reached? When we are able to interrogate that, then we share with our people who will not be able to understand these issues, will bring it toward the understanding at the barest minimum. That also said, what we also have to do is that we have to find out in details how are they going to undertake some of these projects and the rest of them. And then when we are not satisfied, we should not glorify a political party saying that this is a party that is, part of our tradition, the leaders in there are part of our ethnic group and all that. We should not glorify them. We vote those people out if there is a need to do that. But more often than not, Ghanaians have looked on and have glorified politicians, even though they do not serve their interests in the name of what? Tradition, in the name of ethnicity, religion, and whatnot. We tend to shy away from the truth, and then we come back to complain. I think the time has come for us to take a different step and make sure that we hold political office holders their feet to the heat of accountability. And that is the work of what, you know, the elected. Remember, after all, vigilance is the price of liberty. If you are not vigilant, you are not going to get what you are supposed to want. Get from one public officers.
Thank you, Dr. Asar Sande. He's a political analyst. Join us with his thoughts here on Newsnight. Let's do some other stories now. It's almost the same script, but with a different cast, as presidential candidates of the governing NPP and the opposition NDC take different stance on key national issues in the various manifestos. As a member of our political desk, Elton Rube reports, the approach may be different, but the subject is one they agree.
Let's start with the party's position on women economic empowerment. And according to the flag bearer of the NDC, John Mahama, the party will establish a women's development bank. The bank, according to the NDC, will cater to small-scale business women, such as hawkers or anyone without huge capital to run their business.
If it comes to trade and commerce, our women dominate that sector. And most of the time, all they need is just a little credit to be able to use as capital to be able to do their business. And yet there is no helper. And that's why NDC says when we come into office, we're going to create the National Women's Bank.
The MPP also recognizes women economic empowerment, but the flag bearer, Dr. Mamadou Bawumia's approach is slightly different.
We will establish a Women's Trade Empowerment Fund, WOTEF, to support women-owned businesses. We will ensure gender parity in the award of government scholarship.
According to the Electoral Commission figures for the 2020 elections, the youth between the ages of 18 and 35 formed the majority on the voters' roll, accounting for 9.5 million eligible voters. The group is likely to determine the outcome of the December 7th general election. Therefore, a focus on them by the two political parties on digitization. The NDC's John Mahama is promising a $3 billion investment in the digital space for the youth.
And that is why we're committed to supporting digital startups and incubation hubs and training 1 million young Ghanaians in coding. Additionally, we will invest the equivalent of $3 billion to build a vibrant technology and fintech industry.
The MPP's Dr. Mamadou Bawumia has a similar program for the youth.
Providing digital software skills to hundreds of thousands of youth. This, along with other priorities, will create jobs for the youth, including school dropouts. We will train at least 1 million youth in IT skills.
And of course, the free senior high school program features in the two items of priority for the two parties.
We will protect and enhance free SHS and free TVET, which is truly transforming lives.
We are going to improve the free SHS. We are going to work hard to remove the obnoxious double track system.
Elton Brobe for Joy News.
Well, let's stay with election-related stories because the National Democratic Congress is gearing up for its manifesto launch on Saturday at the University of Education, Winneba, in the Central Region. Now, although the document is yet to be made public, speeches by the party's flag bearer on the campaign trail give an idea of what is likely to feature. Maxwell Agwaba, who has been embedded in the NDC campaign trail, reports, among other things, that the 24-hour economy policy, the setting up of a women's development bank, free academic facility user fees for level 100 students, among others, would feature prominently.
Supporters of the National Democratic Congress, NDC, gathered at the Jubilee Park in Tamale for the launch of the party's campaign. This event marked the beginning of what is expected to be an intense campaign period. Since the launch, the NDC flag bearer has toured the Upper East Region, launched the Youth Manifesto at UPSA, engaged with the young people at Bukum, toured the Volta region, and more. Key among his messages, which gives an idea of what will be featured in the yet-to-be-launched NDC manifesto, is a proposal for a 24-hour economy.
And it's not like what the MPP said, we have the men, and we didn't know they were area boys. And our first priority is going to be job creation. And that is why I'm proposing the 24-hour economic policy. And that's why I'm saying in every district, we're going to create farmer service centers. And at the beginning of the farming season, we'll give you all the inputs that you need.
Rebel, rebel,
Revolution. The establishment of a Women's Development Bank is also high on the agenda for the NDC flag bearer if elected. This, he says, will provide Ghanaian women loans for their businesses. The NDC flag bearer has also indicated that scrapping what he describes as obnoxious taxes will be a priority. They include the betting tax and e-levy.
The matter be street matter.
It be street matter. Yeah. If you talk pidgin.
Make a one pidgin. So my boys and girls on the streets, they are very happy.
You see, boys they hustle and job no day. Uh-huh. So now the bet, they do small, get money for gobe. So we talk already. Say where we come. The betting tax will go remove them. E-levy too will go remove them.
Says he is committed to ensuring that first-year students at Ghana's universities do not pay academic facility user fees. Despite skepticism from some sections of the public, he says it is possible by cutting government waste. The NDC flag bearer says he will form a government of less than 60 ministers and deputy ministers of state. He says the future NDC government will improve the free senior high school policy and extend it to students in private schools. He also promises to fight corruption and hold corrupt officials in the Akufo-Addo-led government accountable.
Well, let's do some other stories still election related, because the Electoral Commission is tonight refuting allegation it has illegally registered persons to pad the voters register ahead of the 2024 election. Now, pressure group Election Watch had made the claim, insisting that could be the reason why the EC was not releasing the voters register to the political parties. But addressing journalists at a news conference, Deputy EC Chairperson Dr. Bosman Asare described the claim as unfounded, questioning the credibility of the group making the allegations.
Anytime the commission is undertaking a registration exercise, we do it with the political parties. So it's not possible. It cannot happen that the commission will register people without the political parties. So we expect the media to treat those allegations, for them to even use the word illegality, it's just unacceptable. So we think that the media must treat the group with the contempt that it deserves. They don't seem to be a credible group, because if they are indeed credible, you write to the commission for some of these details.
Well, meanwhile, the Electoral Commission will from Tuesday exhibit the provisional voters register. Ahead of that, though, some political parties led by the NDC had been demanding the EC release the register to the parties as the electoral laws demand. Dr. Bosman Asare says the provisional register is now ready and the NDC have already picked their copy.
After informing the parties to bring their external drives, we wish to place on record that per Regulation 22 of CI 91, as amended by CI 126, the Commission is required to give the provisional register to the political parties not later than 3 months from the end of the registration period. As you may be aware, the limited registration ended on 29th May 2024, and the mop-up registration ended on 3rd August 2024. On the basis of the limited registration, the Commission has until the end of August 2024 to give the provisional register to the political parties. We wish to state that the external drives containing the provisional voters register are ready for pickup. However, we can state on record that the NDC has collected its external drive, which contains the provisional voters register. The other parties are also collecting them as we speak.
Well, Kweku Asante of our political affairs desk joins us live now with more. Kweku, a lot of happenings at the EC today. Before we go through all that, what are the modalities for the voter register exhibition?
Well, Faustina, it's starting tomorrow at 7 o'clock a.m. at all polling stations across the country. If you registered as a voter, you need to go out, according to the Electoral Commission, go and check that your name is on the register, check that your date of birth, other details that you provided are covered. So from tomorrow, 20th at 7 o'clock a.m. up until 27th of August, The Electoral Commission and all police stations, again, like I said, are going to undertake this registration. The political parties have been demanding that a register be given to them ahead of this exercise. According to EC, just like you heard Dr. Bosman Asare, that register has not been made available and the NDC did have picked their copy. And so as far as they are concerned, everything is smoothing out for this process to continue. In fact, EC has also published a short code so that people who cannot go to the police stations can check the specifics of their registration details by USSD code. So according to the EC, 7 o'clock a.m. tomorrow up until the 27th of this month, you can go out there to your police station and check the registration details you provided.
Kwaku, we know that prior to this news conference, the EC had been engaged in the election security task force. We know that's led by the IGP. He's been issuing a stern warning to political parties. Tell us more about that.
Well, yes, today almost all the security chiefs gathered at the Electoral Commission office ahead of this exhibition, and they want to assure the Electoral Commission of their preparedness to ensure that there's appropriate security at all polling stations across the country. But Dr. Tunjiku Fudampare, the IGP's warning is to political parties, stakeholders, and their supporters that you don't have to take the law into your own hands. If you do so, we will clamp down on you. Listen to the IGP in that meeting with the Electoral Commission officials.
In terms of peace, security, law, and order from our side, and also in terms of transparency, fairness from the side of all the other stakeholders, will be second to none, so that our beloved country continue to be a trailblazer for the rest of the continent and beyond. We want to also want to use this to urge all the stakeholders, especially the political parties, that all the issues, all the concerns that they may have in the course of this part of the process, they should ensure that we use due process of engagement of within the law to handle every situation. We don't want to see any situation where anybody will make an attempt to take the law into his or her own hands. If that happens, we will work within the law to deal with the situation. And we ask the good people of this country to support us in this regard, because we will not allow any individual or group of individuals to do anything that affect the sanctity of the peace, security, law, and order of this country. Because we say it time without number, Ghana, and this Ghana is the only place that we have, is the only place we can walk and with our chest out, because that's where we belong. And therefore, we'll stop at nothing to protecting the peace, security, law, and order that we are having in this country.
Well, let's get on the phone lines now and speak to Dr. Rashid Tanko. He's Deputy Director of Elections and IT for the NDC. Doc, thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Well, the Electoral Commission says they have furnished you with the provisional voters register. Have you received it?
Let me say good evening to your cherished listeners, dear. Yes, we received the provisional register this afternoon around 1 p.m. after a series of threats and then issues that we had with them, and which we made it very clear to them that if they do not give us the register today, there was no way they will have the provisional register exhibited tomorrow. We will not accept it, because that would have amounted to an illegality against the state and against the electoral rule of this country. And we're very clear, we're expecting that the IGP should have appointed that one to them. When he's saying that people should not take the law into their own hand, the Electoral Commission had taken the law into their own hand, and they should have dealt with them over there first. Because they were violating a very CI that allowed them to conduct their exhibition. And then so we're not going to sit aloof and allow this kind of illegality to be perpetrated on innocent Ghanaians.
But you now have a copy of...
We bear our teeth on them.
You now have a copy of the provisional voters register. I'm sure you've been consolidating the data. Have you found anything wrong so far?
We are still studying the register as they presented it to us, because the register contains a lot of other... it contains different special voters list. It also contains proxy voters list. And then the main register itself. Don't forget, they've consolidated all the three processes that they've put together. That is the 2020, 2023, 2024, and then the mop-up. So we are taking our time and rigorously studying the register to be sure that whatever we captured through all these periods are properly captured in this register. Because this Electoral Commission is noted for
removing people's name from the register.
But so far, so good. So we know the exhibition starts tomorrow. Are you able to properly prepare your people to go through the process as it begins?
Oh, yes. In fact, we have prepared our executive, our branch executive, adequately. In fact, we issued frequently asked questions. My boss, Omane Boama, issued it this morning about exhibition, everything about exhibition, to all our branches and to the general public. So that tells you the level of preparedness towards the exhibition. The only thing that was hindering the process was the issue of this register that they hadn't given to us then. And so that was what we were just expecting. Now that we have it, as we speak now, we are seriously studying it and we are teasing it out to the regions to make sure that by the end of today, that is probably by midnight, all the regions would have received their copies, and tomorrow it will get to the branches so that they can be in tandem with what the Electoral Commission is going to exhibit.
Dr. Rashid Tanko, he's Deputy Director Elections and IT for the NDC. We are your election headquarters. Election headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, also brought to you by CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, and AICPA and CIMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. Also brought to you by German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness, and Beauty Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. We'll be back with your comments after business.
Well, coming up in the business, the National Petroleum Authority vows to press ahead with the cylinder circulation module, but will not rule out further engagement with the LPG marketers on their concerns. And economist Professor Peter Colter describes moves by World Bank to review Ghana's debt classification post-deal with commercial creditors as good for the economy. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. And manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited's back to school promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply. Supposed to happen where we find the
reason why. Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for. Me don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth. More charcoal. Not only that, maybe mama lemon. More lemon. Zinc for fresher breath. More zinc. And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Yeah. Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
You could be the luckiest. You could be the luckiest.
East, west.
you could be the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the National Petroleum Authority has maintained that it has no plans of reviewing the cylinder recirculation module. It follows concerns by the LPG marketers that the program in its current form could lead to the collapse of some of their firms operating in the gas space. Now, this has led to some of them pushing for the whole module to be reviewed, or they could actually boycott the program. But the National Petroleum Authority has maintained that even though it is willing to engage them, there are no plans to freeze the policy in its current form. Obed Krani Bwachi is the head of gas regulations at the National Petroleum Authority.
And we have never said we want to collapse the business of LPG embassies. We have never said we want to shut down their facilities. Initially, the proposal was that we wanted to move phase by phase. And so when we got into an area or a region, we would have transitioned all the refilling stations to cylinder distribution outlets and then cylinder exchange points. And then we would move to another area. Now, they raised certain concerns that, for instance, there are people who still want to buy in smaller quantities, tot by tot, and all of that. And so let's run the model side by side. George, my understanding of side by side, and that is the understanding we had, was that the old model will continue to run as it is, whilst we introduce the cylinder exchange points also to complement the ones that we have. It wasn't for us to now bring the cylinder exchange points into the stations of the old model. That was not the understanding. And that is for a good purpose, because we piloted CRM in certain areas, and the lessons we learned taught us that you cannot have branded cylinders in a refilling station. Of course, they are going to refill their cylinders at that station. And then that defeats the entire purpose of the CRM. The bottles have to go back to the bottling plant to be refilled, to be checked, to be maintained before they are brought back onto the market. And so that is the issue.
And that is the head of gas regulations at the National Petroleum Authority, Obed Bwachi. Now, economist Professor Peter Korte has described moves by the World Bank to review Ghana's debt classification post the commercial, that is, deal with commercial creditors, as good for the economy. The World Bank has revealed that it will review Ghana's distress tag once ongoing discussions are finalized with the commercial bilateral creditors. Professor Korte noted that this might go a long way to aid in the country's recovery.
Debt distress situation might not be the same, rather will be within sustainable threshold. But that depends on how much we're able to raise revenue domestically and then how well we manage our expenditure. I think he alluded to that. So that also depends as well on additional borrowing, because as once we have joined the IMF, I mean, we sought IMF support and we are basically having credibility, policy credibility. We're also borrowing and we're attracting additional funding from external sources, etc., even some domestic as well. So if we don't manage it carefully, we'll restructure our debts, but then we'll bring in additional loans, which will then worsen our debt GDP situation, and this reclassification might not inure to our interest. So we need to guard carefully against additional borrowing whilst we continue to grow the economy. But the numbers is a ratio, debt to GDP.
And that is economist Professor Peter Korte. Now, moves by the flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, to review some levies is being described as good for businesses. Let's hear the thoughts of tax consultant Francis Timoboy on some of these levies that the presidential candidate is proposing to review when he becomes president.
That policy is very fantastic, and I wish that I could even make that proposal to Parliament before the elections. You remember August 2018, the government decided to separate the VAT from the levies. And so immediately about 6% of every purchase of goods and service becomes a cost to you as a business. In principle, if you're a business, you are not a consumer. And therefore, any cost you incur, you're supposed to pass it on to the final consumer. But here's the case, the separation had made it such that you have to absorb the 6% into your cost buildup. So it didn't really look like a consumption tax, and we were rather punishing the production system. So it is able to reinstate the old position as we had in 2018. Fantastic. Prices of goods and services may come down, and businesses may have that free cash flow to operate. They are not supposed to bear these levies. It is the consumer who must bear it.
Francis Timoboy is a tax consultant, and the Bank of Ghana is planning to sell dollars to the bulk oil distributors over the next 2 weeks at the rate of 15 Ghana cedis, 73 pesos. Now, this was after it concluded an auction to sell $20 million to these distributors. Local currency is currently selling at around 15 Ghana cedis, 80 pesos. It's not clear for now whether the Bank of Ghana is going to see some further reductions in the coming day. The cedi has been fairly stable over the past 4 weeks. And that's all for business on Newsnight.
Thank you, George. Now let's do some more stories here on Newsnight. We take you to courts now because the Supreme Court is urging caution in matters related to same-sex relations, emphasizing that the moral debate surrounding unnatural carnal knowledge should not be misconstrued as universally accepted. Well, in a judgment explaining its decision to uphold the law criminalizing unnatural carnal knowledge, the court stated that foreign laws inconsistent with Ghana's values or the 1992 constitution cannot simply be adopted. The court highlighted that laws lose their relevance if they merely transplant foreign cultural values and ideas without any foundation in the local social context. Well, head of our legal affairs desk, Rich Kojianko, joins me in the studio with more on this. Kojo, this judgment came as far back as 2 months ago, but walk us through the background.
Well, so the plaintiff, Dr. Prince Krang, a lecturer with the University of Ghana Law School, argues that penetration through the anus, along with other sexual acts such as the use of sex toys, is the gay man mode of sexual expression, and that denying them of their only mode of sexual expression is discriminatory because homosexuals are permitted the right to sexual expression, at least penile vaginal intercourse, in a way that they prefer. And so the plaintiff further argued that criminalizing acts of unnatural carnal knowledge perpetuates stigma and hostile discrimination against homosexual persons, and thus negatively affects the health of the gay community, as it has a tendency to dissuade homosexual persons, particularly gays, from accessing health facilities. And so he wanted the Supreme Court to strike down Section 104 of the Criminal Offences Act.
But the court upheld their initial decision to criminalize unnatural carnal knowledge. Tell us why.
So the plaintiff's case was that the state cannot be concerned with what two consenting adults do in private, including act of unnatural carnal knowledge. For the purpose of argument, what the plaintiff, the court says, seeks to pursue is that the state should not involve itself with conduct in private which are criminal. And the court says it is a common knowledge that most crimes are committed in private, and to accept the plaintiff's proposition is to relegate as unconstitutional all acts legislated as crimes and committed in private. And to the court, the person's privacy can be compromised for the prevention of the crime. But if you look at what the court says, the plaintiff's arguments were constructed on the Wolfenden Report of Britain, which in part extensively influenced the intellectual basis of the claim. And so what the Supreme Court is seeking to say is that Ghana, as an actor in the global geopolitics, might be influenced by the claims and cultures of other nations. But more importantly, Ghana also belongs to a distinct boat with a peculiar context and culture, which must provide the primary illumination to seeing what the Constitution entails. And so this is what the court is saying, that yes, there are foreign laws, but we have our cultural values, our traditions and other things, and that is what put us together as a nation.
Thank you, head of our legal affairs desk here, Joe News, Richard Kojianko, giving us those details. Let's get on the phone lines now and speak to the plaintiff in this matter, Dr. Prince Granting. He's a lecturer at the University of Ghana School of Law. Thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Let's get right into it. You've heard the reasons given by the court for taking that decision. Are you satisfied?
Yeah, good evening. Okay, my name is Prince Obriu Krang, not Granting.
Well, hello? That's actually how we introduce you.
It's my name is Prince Obriu Krang, not Granting.
Okay, thank you very much for the correction. Let's make progress.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I think I heard what the Kwabena said earlier, especially with respect to the part that he indicated that most crimes are committed in private, and therefore we should not be asked to do this. I would say the court did not really... I think the best way of saying it without being prejudicial would be that they did not really appreciate where I was coming from. If they really appreciated where I was coming from, I don't think the conclusion would have been the same. Anyway, but before I start anything, I would like us to note that this is not a case that borders on homosexuality alone. It borders on...
Let's make progress right now. I want to know, are you satisfied with the reasons given by the Supreme Court? Will you be contesting this?
I of course, I'm not going to contest it because I know the final answer. Yeah, that would come, but I'm not satisfied. I think the court erred.
Do you feel justice has been denied in this case?
Yeah, justice has been denied, of course.
Oh, thank you, Doc, for joining us here on Newsnight. He joins us with his thoughts about the Supreme Court's ruling. Now, let's do some sports now. I know you have your comments point through. We'll read them shortly, but then let's do some sports. What's happening?
Yeah, Faustina, well, he's Dr. Mahmoud Bamia's manifesto for the sports sector, and specifically, he plans to help clubs in the Ghana Premier League, and he says that he's looking to support them in the remuneration of their players and also with some logistics, specifically the provision of a bus. Well, some Premier League clubs have welcomed the move by the vice president, hoping that it will go a long way to reduce the exodus of players from the Ghana Premier League. First, let's listen to the MPP's flag bearer.
We will support the revival of the Premier League and clubs to improve commercial viability and create related jobs, including player remuneration. And also, we will provide a bus to each Premier League club. And we will build 6 5,000-seater capacity stadia for the new regions, the 6 new regions. And we will build a standard stadium for Sunyani because of their love of football and the many clubs in Sunyani.
Now, Joe Jumper is media officer for Ghana Premier League side in Sanchoman, and he has welcomed the move by the vice president, MPP's flag bearer, to support the Premier League clubs, especially with the remuneration of players.
It's a good deal. It's good for Ghana football in the sense that looking at the salary structure of our players in Ghana, that is really causing the mass exodus of players to foreign leagues. And one sometimes disheartening news is when you hear players traveling to countries that are at par in terms of economy with Ghana, attracting our players to play in their leagues because their salaries in their payment system or structure is better than that of what we have in our league here. It's really no good.
Razak Musbao there with sports. Now let's do some other stories now. Before that, let me read some of your messages coming through. Philip says, listening to the manifesto of the NPP, there's nothing in the manifesto. The whole program was empty and useless. Let's do some other comments. Teachers should remember that they were once told they cannot be millionaires. Promises here and there, they must go. They only need power. That's from Kwesi in Kaswa. CTAG has been on strike for nearly 80 days over non-payment of allowances. And that is coming from Charles from Legon. What is government doing about it? He asks. Let's do some other stories. Time after time, some residents who live in flood-prone areas keep hope alive that one day their plight of having to run from home when the rainy season sets in would be addressed. But it seems that hope is gradually waning. Here's Hannah Odami with our Floods of Trauma report.
After years of keeping hope alive without receiving any major help, some residents living at flood-prone area, Odona, say they have accepted their fate and have devised backup plans to keep they and their property safe when the rains came down.
Me better now say no. Me ma made me bounce in a mania 7 years. Na insio no, and yes, I need a sister, mania 52 years.
52-year-old Sarah Kote Oyo has lived in this house for 45 years. She tells me until the overpass was constructed at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle and the drains in their backyard covered, they lived without fear of the rain. In fact, they enjoyed it when they see the clouds, but not anymore.
Previously, the drain behind our house was just okay to contain all the rainwater. But now, it cannot hold that much water because there are many more people residing in the area and the drain has been covered.
Well, meanwhile, some young head porters who are first-time voters cite the lack of jobs and poor living condition as reason for their leaving home. As the elections approach, they're demanding better opportunities from politicians back home to avoid the harsh conditions they endure in Accra. Lois Shola Adeyemi interacts with them in our latest episode of Just 10:18.
Place so that I will not come here to come and be doing the Kayayu again.
They have introduced two hostels as part of the Kayayu empowerment plan, and they're also training over 5,000 people. They've started with 500. Isn't that good news for you?
Still one more so that they will create some jobs over our end over there. So if you are not continuing your education, you should be doing any job. They should create jobs so that if you are not going to school, you can be employed there, doing small, so that you get some money.
I like to go back to school because when I'm going to school, now that I went to SS, I feel like if I, like you peoples, I feel you, if I become one of you like this, I want to go to school.
I also want to go to the school. Even when I hear your voice cry, I feel if no school, the English I can speak, so I also want to go to the school. If I go through further education more, I can speak more and speak with public people, so I want to go to the school.
We want job, we really want it, but some of us too, we want to further our education and we want to be maybe nurse and we look and we take care of our parents without taking anything.
Well, that's it for news. Nice. For more news, please log on to myjoonline.com. My name is Faustina Safo. Up next is That's My Opinion with Nana Nsakwau. The key topic today is the audacity of politics. Please stay tuned in.